With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, hour number two live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. J-Mac, Albert Breer in a few minutes on some NFL stuff. Calling right, calling wrong. Great weekend. Katie's gone. Toast. Aunt Edwards has arrived. KD has regressed. Yeah. That's the new NBA. LeBron tonight fighting for his playoff salvation.
Come on, LeBron. Hang in there. Come on. You have to admit you're rooting LeBron tonight.
I'm not. I think Denver is a championship team. I do not think the Lakers are. So I'm not. Try to stay out of the rooting business.
No. You always tell me you root for interesting, right? The Lakers starting a comeback, digging out of a massive hole. And winning in Denver tonight to come back to L.A. You know the crypt here is going to be juiced up if they get a game. Game six, right? If they get that, Lakers get to it, I may have to
hit
up.
That probably would be more interesting.
Here we go. Lakers, baby.
All right, time for on a Monday. It's customary. Colin right, Colin wrong.
Where Colin was right.
The first 14 picks in the draft were offense. All six highly touted quarterbacks went in the top 12. 55 offensive linemen in the draft. We've been on this for years. Stop drafting as much defense high. Michael Penix, we never bought into a second rounder. He's a starting quarterback. I thought he may fall to like a Miami or a Dallas or maybe a Rams, but 23 of 32 picks went offense, 72%. Folks, they've changed the rules. Load up on offense like New England did.
Where Colin was wrong.
Ant Edwards was the best player in that series. I said, he's dynamic, he's great. But is he going to be Dominique instead of MJ? Does he have the leadership abilities, the relentlessness? Can he elevate teammates? That's exactly what he did in this series. Yes, he's dynamic. Nobody disputes Dominique was dynamic. I still think he has to improve as a shooter, but 31-8 in this series, was willing to guard KD, was verbal, was great with his teammates, was a coach on the bench. That's the difference between dynamic and MJ. You got to be willing sometimes to say the tough thing to teammates, guard the other team's best guy. Here was Ant after.
I told y'all yesterday, or day before yesterday, whatever the last time we played, that I want to kill everything in front of me. So once I knew we had a chance to sweep them and, you know, I mean, why we want to go back to Minnesota? I mean, we know the recipe. They came out and competed. They played hard tonight. It was very tough, but, I mean, big shout-out to my teammates, man. They came out and competed at a high level throughout the whole 48 minutes, and they trusted me at the end.
Yep, four-game sweep, never, ever close.
Where Colin was right.
I said a month ago Jaden Daniels would go number two, and that I trusted my source on this, and my source, Big J Journalism, is officially 4 for 4 on giving me scoops. Cliff Kingsbury and the organization decided over a month ago that Jaden Daniels was ready to play, Drake May wasn't, that his mobility would help them greatly with a rebuilding offensive line, and that right now as a pocket passer, he was more accurate and consistent. So they made this decision over a month ago. My source nailed it, Jaden number two.
Where Colin was wrong.
I didn't think the Suns would win the championship or even the West, but I was wrong on KD. He's not close to a cornerstone player. He's exactly what he always told us he was. A hooper. He gets buckets. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I do think less of him because of Brooklyn and Phoenix than I did when he was a Warrior. I did think he was a better, easier scorer than LeBron. But LeBron adds so many dimensions that KD doesn't. He is what he promised us and told us he was. He's just a hooper.
Where Colin was right.
Michael Penix Jr. I said it midway through the college season. That's a franchise quarterback. I don't care if he's left-handed. I don't care about the ACL stuff. And four teams, including Atlanta, were reportedly interested in the top 10 picks. Listen. Size, arm, the ease in which he throws the deep ball. There's knocks on him, like, for instance, the underneath stuff. You can teach quarterbacks the underneath stuff. You cannot teach a quarterback to throw a ball this beautiful and this accurately on deep routes. So Penix, not J.J. McCarthy, was the quarterback that many teams were moving up to get.
Where Colin was wrong.
Paul George, James Harden. I got to be honest on James Harden. That's I whiffed on that. I didn't think it was going to work. I thought it was just Kawhi, Westbrook, Harden, yuck. He's been great. Just what the doctor ordered. This was always a team with a good roster and a great coach that didn't have a lubricator, didn't have a point guard. He's been terrific. Yesterday, assists, threes, floaters. They tried to run him off the three-point line. All right, go ahead. And he burned them. A magnificent performance. He is, and we said this years ago, he's always been a more willing passer than people get him credit for. But this has actually worked significantly better than I predicted I was wrong.
Where Colin was right.
Also said this, that Jalen Brunson, I said this at the start of the year, will be the greatest Knick since Patrick Ewing. I never bought into Melo. I didn't buy into Amari Stoudemire. This kid, not Daniel Jones or Aaron Rodgers, this is the best quarterback in New York. Intelligence, toughness, clutch, leadership. He is fantastic. You know, I mean, historically, small guys don't lead you to championships. Steph, Isaiah Thomas did. But what I like about Brunson, he never takes the fans or his game for, you know, he doesn't take the foot off the gas. He is working it on both ends every game. He is the Knicks. He feels like Tibbs. He feels like the Knicks. Toughness, leadership, clutch time stats, we were right.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought the Patriots in my final mock draft had such a weak roster, they'd move out of the three spot and accumulate a ton of picks. But I'm happy I was wrong. They went and got Drake May, and their first five picks were offensive, and seven of eight total picks were offensive. Which, whether or not he's going to star or even succeed at any level, you got to give these kids a fighting chance. Drake May's got a new coach, and Elliot Wolf did a nice job to help elevate him with some really interesting and fast offensive pieces.
Where Colin was right.
Bo Nix, Deshaun Payton, number 12. We called that months ago. Not that I had a source inside the Broncos building, but I did believe that of all the quarterbacks in this draft, he was a great fit. A great fit with Sean Payton. 61 college starts. Hyper accurate. Dad was a coach. Very coachable. People forget on Bo Nix, he was a five-star recruit. I remember as a freshman, him beating Oregon Justin Herbert on a final drive of the game and thinking, who is this kid? He's good. He's talented. I saw him play live twice. And he is the kind of quarterback, Bridgewater and Breeze, that Sean Payton likes, that Kyle Shanahan likes. Here's the play. Follow it and deliver it accurately. The NFL is about fit, and he's a good fit.
Where Colin was wrong.
Eagles gave A.J. Brown an extension, making him the highest paid wide receiver, guaranteed money ever. I thought they'd consider moving off him. There was some drama. He will sometimes show his emotions. They had Devontae Smith. They got Saquon Barkley. They got good tight ends. They have a good old line. I thought they'd consider moving off him. He's a remarkable player. But instead, they doubled down. And if you look at Philadelphia's weapons, they are at the very top of the league. Tight end, running back, O-line, quarterback, wide receiver weapons in an offensive league. The Eagles are stacked.
Where Colin was right?
I know a lot of you bang on Sark, but 2 years ago, the Texas Longhorns had nobody drafted. This year, they had 11 players drafted due to Sark's recruiting, second only to Michigan. They are SEC ready. Sark gets criticized. The dude can evaluate quarterbacks, recruit his butt off, and they are now a powerhouse football program. They'll get to a national championship game. They'll win eventually a national championship. But what Sark had to do is what Lincoln Riley's trying to do. Let's make us a 10 to 12 player a year draft program. We got to get NFL bodies. And when you watched Bama face Texas last year, what was obvious? Texas had more good players. Texas was bigger and faster. Way to go, Sark. And with that, Albert Breer is now joining us. Here we go. What a fun draft. I'll start with New England because you know him so well. Whether or not you think Bill Belichick's a genius, he didn't do a lot to help Mac Jones. They overpaid for mediocre tight ends and possession receivers. Yeah. Zeke was washed. Matt Patricia. I thought New England at least sent a message. We're going to kind of pivot to a more offensive franchise. That's what it felt like to me. What say you?
Yeah, and I even think with the quarterback himself, you can say that. I mean, this is a nod to the environment they're in right now. Like you said, you know, offense is king. And the idea has always been over the last few years to just overcommit to investing around your young quarterback. They're doing that. And then, you know, again, just the pick of the quarterback himself, Colin. Think about the environment for the next 10 years in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, CJ Stroud. You're going to have to beat three of these guys in succession just to get to the Super Bowl. And so I think, you know, the Patriots looked at that this and figured we need to swing for the fences. Like, we like McCarthy. Penix is a good player. Bo Nix translates into some offenses. But to get this right and to get back to where we once were, we need to swing for the fences at the quarterback position, even if the floor is a little lower with the kid, even if the kid needs a little bit more development. So the idea here is to swing for the fences and then invest around the young quarterback.
So first 14 players taken are offensive. It's people moving up, people interested in Brock Bowers, multiple teams, Michael Penix, multiple teams. It felt like a little bit, Albert, of a league pivot to the acknowledgement that, guys, at the end of the seasons, nobody can stop anybody. You need weapons. That's what it felt. It was almost like a referendum on the change of the sport. Your thoughts?
I would say it's yes. I would say that's true. I think the other thing you want to look at here is the focus on certain positions, right? They're all quarterbacks, tackles, and receivers, with the exception of Bowers, who's seen as a unicorn at tight end, right?
Right.
So you look at the best teams and how they're building. They're building around receivers. They're building around tackles. They're building around quarterbacks. And then you look at the top defensive players to go, and Dallas Turner, Laiatu Latu, Byron Murphy, all those guys can get after the passer. And then you see a couple corners go later in the round. I think as much as anything else, what we're seeing now is the economics of the sport really trickling into the draft, where you look at it and you say, a receiver costs $30 million, a pass rusher costs $30 million, a tackle costs $25 million, a quarterback costs $55 million. So we need to draft them, and we need to get them in at a cheap rate, and then we'll be able to negotiate long-term contracts while they're on the roster. I there are good players at other positions here. Graham Barton, the center from Duke, is a good example of that. But if you look at it, no safeties in the first round, no linebackers in the first round. Again, just the one interior offensive lineman. Try getting a running back close to the first round now. It didn't happen this year. I just think when you look at the overall makeup of the first round, yes, it's absolutely offense heavy. I think the other thing you notice is how much investment there is in premium positions.
So I thought there was a message sent by a couple of teams. One, the Niners going getting a couple of really good receivers. And I think the message is, listen, We like you, Debo. We like you, Brandon. We like you. But we're led by Shanahan's play sheet, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams. When Trent misses games, they lose. I mean, Shanahan's record without Christian McCaffrey is around 500. So, I mean, I thought there was a message with their picks. And then that message was at their receivers. Yeah. By the way, Albert, 10 of the first 30, what was it? What was it? 37 of the first something picks were, 10 of the first 35 picks or something like that were wide receivers. That's the position that floods the market every year. What did you make of the Niners draft? Yeah.
And you notice too, Colin, before I get to the Niners specifically, how it was the tackles, then the receivers, right? And I think that that's sort of the way the makeup of the draft was too, is most of these teams look at it and say, you got to get a tackle, you got to get a receiver. It's harder to find a tackle higher in the draft. And I think that's why all the tackles came off the board in the top 20. And then you started to see the receivers come off the board. Obviously, you had the three at the top, but that's when the Pearsalls and the Leggetts and the Xavier Worthies and those guys all started to come off when the tackles ran out. I mean, if you look across the league, you can see a lot of second, third, fourth round receivers, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, all of these guys were the highest paid guys in the league, Tyreek Hill, that weren't first round picks. You can find receivers all over the place. And once the tackles ran out, I think you started to see that in the second round. Yes, the Niners are looking at the receiver position and wanted to create flexibility for themselves. And I look at this a little bit like, you know, a few years ago when they traded DeForest Buckner. They looked at their roster and there was a little bit of a bottleneck from a contractual standpoint with all the guys they were paying. They're in the same sort of situation now. And this is similar to back then in that they were looking at where they had a surplus in the roster. At the time, it was on the defensive line. They had both Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner. They pay Armstead. They wind up trading Buckner. I think ultimately that'll be the way this goes. Initially, going back to January and February, I thought that meant Ayuk was probably as good as gone. I've changed my thinking on that. I now think they're probably going to try to extend Ayuk. Yeah. And I think Deebo Samuel is available.
Yes.
I think Ayuk is viewed more as the true number one receiver there, a guy who's a more natural receiver. And Deebo Samuel, as good as he is and unique as he is, might be seen as a little bit of a luxury item there now. So I think the plan for now is to keep all of those guys on the roster together and make one more all-in run with the entire group. But if you ask me who's going to be on the Niners roster longer, whether the change happens now or a year from now, I'd say Ayuk is probably going to be there for a longer period of time than Deebo Samuel.
And by the way, Deebo's style of play is you know, pretty cautionary. He gets beat up. And McCaffrey, again, how many years can you give him? 300 touches, 200 touches. So I think, to your point, I think Deebo's the one that would exit. Now, Sean Payton goes and gets Bo Nix. I thought it looked, when I watched Bo Nix live, I thought, oh, this is Sean Payton's guy. There was a lot of smoke screens on. They didn't love his hand size. In your opinion, did they decide on Bo Nix a while ago?
They think that they, I don't want to make them sound arrogant, but they think that they really got one here. And they think that a lot of people are wrong about him. And here's what I thought was really interesting about it, right? You know what made the Broncos nervous was when our buddy Joel Klatt said something and when Chase Daniel said something. Because Joel Klatt actually was in training camp with Sean Payton, so he knows that offense and he knows Bo Nix as a player. And Chase Daniel obviously played all those years ago for Sean Payton and is very, very smart about the quarterback position. So they were trying to keep this thing under wraps, but Klatt and Daniel came out and said, this is so perfect. So they saw the same things you were seeing, Colin. And, you know, they did their best to kind of keep it to themselves. And, you know, Sean Payton's obviously affected by the experience in 2017 of losing Patrick Mahomes. They loved Patrick Mahomes in New Orleans and they wound up getting jumped for him. And so they wanted to do everything they could to try to keep it quiet how much they love Bo Nix. Obviously, they weren't wholly successful doing that. But, you know, what's really interesting about this is Sean is seen as a very old school coach. They leaned heavily on analytics here. And if you talk to analytics people, the numbers tell you Bo Nix was the best quarterback in the draft. And I know that sounds crazy in a year when Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May and all these guys are coming out. But, you know, when the Broncos went and dug into it, when Sean Payton got the numbers back from their analytics people, I'm telling you, like in so many different categories, critical categories, Bo Nix was number one. So you had the play style, you had all these critical categories, and then you had the meeting in Eugene. And I'll give you one anecdote. When they were walking out, right, like from the meeting room to go out on the practice field, Sean Payton pointed down at Bo Nix's backpack and said, what do you have in there? So Bo Nix emptied his backpack. He had a pair of football cleats. He had a roll of athletic tape, and he had a lacrosse ball in there that he uses to crack his back. And the Broncos looked at that and said, this kid is all about football. And so it's like one of those little anecdotes where, like, all the stuff that you hear about Bo Nix being like all about ball and it's so important to him and a coach's son, they got validation of it. And I think, you know, walking out of that room and onto the practice field and Eugene seeing him throw the ball, then that was when they walked away saying, yeah, we can see this guy being the 12th overall pick. Absolutely.
Cowboys need a run game. I think Zeke is washed. Didn't draft one. Receiver in the sixth round. I mean, it looks like to me, if you look at their personnel, this will be a more Dak-dependent offense than ever going forward. That's what it says to me. You?
So let me ask you this, Colin. Do you think maybe the Cowboys are now are with Dak right now where the Rams were with Jared Goff in 2020?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I look at this and look, Jerry sort of poisoned the well with his all-in comment, because I think that, you know, raised the expectation that something was going to happen that was never going to happen because of where they are financially and because they have, you know, three big contract situations coming down the pike with Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, and CeeDee Lamb. But you just, like, look at it, and they've been knocking on the door, and, you know, they've been in the playoffs pretty consistently, but they haven't made it back to the NFC title game since 1995, and they've been unceremoniously dumped out of the playoffs the last couple of years by Green Bay and San Francisco. And I'm not saying that that's all on Dak. It's not. But he's had good players around him, and that's been a good roster.
Yes.
And so is there a Matthew Stafford available for them out there? I don't know, but it'd be really interesting to see what would happen if that sort of situation presented itself for the Cowboys, because it is starting to feel a little bit like they're in that spot where the Rams were with Jared Goff, where they're sort of openly asking the question, is this guy ever going to be good enough to put us over the top? And look, Goff proved a lot of people wrong in going to Detroit and doing what he did. So this is nothing against Prescott, but it's hard to imagine that train of thought hasn't entered the building in Dallas.
Yeah, I've seen Jared Goff get to a Super Bowl, out-duel Patrick Mahomes on Monday Night Football. I consider Goff a more talented thrower of the football than Dak Prescott. Good stuff. Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. Good as always, bud. Good talking to you.
All right, thanks, Colin.
Yeah, so the Bo Nix, Sean Payton thing was interesting. So I had heard that Sean really liked Bo Nix. And it was funny, when Bo Nix talked to Sean Payton, I asked Bo Nix privately how it went. And it was funny that Sean was like, yeah, I wish there was this. He really downplayed it. But if you watch Bo Nix's game, it is Drew Brees early. Accurate, coachable, moves better than you think, will stand in there, take shots. Sean Payton wants you to run his plays. He wants you to run his plays. Kyle Shanahan wants you to run his plays. McVay's a little bit more willing that you can go, you know, off script. Some guys are. Matt LaFleur's a little bit like that. But Shanahan and Sean, this is my play. Andy Reid's a little bit more willing for you to go off script. But a lot of these guys are like, I design plays well. Sean Payton's one of the smartest play designers and play callers of my life. And Bo Nix is that guy. J-Mac, get ready for Bronco talk.
It's funny listening to you there. I feel like you're a little more Andy Reid than Sean Payton with this show. You like a little ad-libbing. We're going to go off the reservation. We're going to get a little crazy. We're not going to be super by the script here. We're doing this.
But script matters.
Script does matter.
It does.
But you like the off-livability.
Well, you know, it's just sometimes things go sideways. It's okay.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
We're this close to crowning an NBA champ, and the action's heating up on the court. It's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code HERD, code H-E-R-D, HERD, for new customers to get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500 if your first bet doesn't hit. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. One no sweat bet per new customer issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See DKNG.co/bball for eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Wild weekend. It's just some of the stuff that happens in sports. It really is. When you watch the NBA regular season, it's fun, but it almost doesn't count. Like, you're just like, yeah, whatever, the head-to-head matchups. You watch the Knicks and Sixers. In every big moment in that series, it doesn't feel terribly competitive. You know New York's going to win. Phoenix was not competitive for four games.
It feels that way, some sort of NFL too, right? You know, like week 10. I don't really remember what happened, but you remember the playoff games distinctly.
Well, and also, I think the NFL is getting easier to predict because it's so quarterback driven. If you have a really good A quarterback and a competent coach, you're just going to win your division. And at least, I mean, I know Baltimore and Cincinnati, if Joe Burrow and Lamar are healthy, they're going to be really good teams. I know that. I know Kansas City. I know Herbert with Jim Harbaugh. That's going to be a really, really improved football team. You know, where you get into weird situations is like Jalen Hurts and that offense is good, but we don't really know if Nick Sirianni's it. We know Kyle Shanahan and McVay are. So last year when everybody sold the Rams, I'm like, Stafford, Aaron Donald, McVay, Cooper Kupp. They're not going to be terrible. Those are elite players. So, I mean, to me, if you have an A quarterback and at least a B to a B-plus coach, pro football, you kind of figure pencil him in as one of the 14 playoff teams. J-Mac with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, let's start with the Atlanta Falcons. How about the quarterback controversy they have now that they got Michael Penix with the 8th pick? Kirk Cousins was not aware this was going to be the Falcons' move, but Raheem Morris confirmed that Cousins does not have to worry about losing his job.
We came up with a decision. This is what we plan to do. And Kirk does not have to look over his shoulder every time he throws a bad pass. Like, that is not the case. Like, yep. So I know I'm going to have to tell you guys once or twice that that is not the case. Like, we are here to go win. And we are here to go win it all. We are here to win as much as we can win. Right? And we set these goals as a team, and we want to follow through on those goals. Right? We had an opportunity to build and do something different with some sustained winning over time, and we took an op, and then right back to business to doing what we need to do to try to win right now.
What you don't want to do in this league is pay Russell Wilson or Dak $350 million. Paying Kirk Cousins $175 front-loaded as you draft a rookie quarterback, I can move off it by Thanksgiving. I mean, if he has a good first year and you win the division, which they will, they'll win the division. I can live with that if you hit on your draft picks. When you look at Denver, even if Denver, with all the dead cap money, if Bo Nix can play, they're fine. If a rookie quarterback comes in and plays, you're fine with that stuff. People have dead cap money all the time.
It's about the process, though, Colin. If that was going to be your move, we're going to get Penix. Why pay Kirk Cousins in the first place? Now they're talking about a controversy. Kirk Cousins, he's good, but Michael Penix is now 24 years old almost?
Yeah.
24 next month? He's like, what? So I got no chance to start no matter how great I am? I have no chance? I'm just going to sit here for 2 years?
How about this? Atlanta said to themselves, well, if we like Penix as much as everybody else does, and we know the first three teams are taking quarterbacks, We're 8. They thought Minnesota would jump ahead. Raiders wanted to. Denver didn't. So Atlanta's sitting there going, listen, insurance policy, let's pay Kirk in the 40s. But remember, you knew the first two teams were taking quarterback, and you knew the number three spot would be a quarterback from somebody. It was New England. So they're thinking to themselves, well, the Chargers want to move back at 5. So, and there was all this J.J. McCarthy talk. So people are forgetting this. Atlanta's sitting there at 8, and they're like, we love Penix. We know we're not going to get Jaden and Caleb. We're probably not going to get Drake May. But we like Penix over Bo Nix, and we like Penix over J.J. McCarthy. Let's let the draft play out. But we're not going to get nothing. So Kirk Cousins is our insurance policy, and then the draft worked where the Chargers didn't trade back.
Hold on. And $100 million guaranteed insurance policy who's starting for 2 years?
Well, let me ask you this.
Expensive.
Let's say the Giants would have taken a quarterback, and it probably would have been Penix, because now we know 3 to 4 teams wanted Penix. Would Atlanta have taken Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy? My question is, my feeling is, yes.
Okay, well, wait. The 3 to 4 teams report wanted Penix. How do we know the Falcons didn't just leak that to appease all the fans and be like, well, hey, a lot of guys wanted it. We had to get it. We had to. Our fans were forced.
I think people are forgetting. The day before they had Kirk Cousins, Atlanta had Desmond Ridder. They were arguably in the worst quarterback spot in the league. That was no team was worse other than maybe Tennessee. And they're like, okay, we really like Penix and say JJ or whatever it is, Penix. We know the first three spots are taking quarterbacks.
Right.
We know the Giants may, and we know the Chargers want to trade down, so we may not get one. So I would argue this. Kirk Cousins was the insurance policy, and their take is, okay, we'll pay Kirk Cousins half of what Dak wants. We'll pay that for 2 years. It's all front-loaded in the contract.
Couldn't you have gotten 80% of Kirk Cousins with Gardner Minshew or something? Well, is Kirk Cousins that good coming off an Achilles?
No. You have an 81-year-old owner. They're not interested in Gardner Minshew. They want to make the playoffs, and they identify. But you have to remember, Atlanta's in the 8. They don't want to give up draft capital. They don't want to gut their draft capital. The day before they had Kirk, they had the worst quarterback situation in the league. Now they have the best quarterback in their division and the best backup in the league, probably for a year. I will go quarterback heavy. You find me somebody in the league that's better than Michael Penix as a backup.
I'll need a minute, but Justin Fields. Come on, he's played in the league for 3 years.
Michael Penix today is significantly better than Justin Fields.
If he was significantly better, he would start, because Justin Fields started as a rookie.
That's because Chicago didn't have a Kirk Cousins. They had nobody.
This is going to be a fun offseason discussion.
Atlanta's going to win that division. I hope everybody knows.
I can't wait for the Kirk Cousins primetime meltdown. And you come on, time to see Penix. Let's see Penix.
Well, I just want to win games.
Yeah.
All I care about if I ran a team, I just want to win games. Now I got two quarterbacks that go in games. The day before they had Kirk Cousins, I had none. Now I got two. I'll live with it for 2 years.
Okay. Next up is the Milwaukee Bucks. They've fallen on hard times. There's a deeper discussion here, Colin. So Giannis hasn't played yet.
Yeah.
Dame didn't play in game 4. Sounds like both will be out tomorrow in Milwaukee. No determination yet. Indiana hit a playoff franchise record, 22 threes yesterday. Mm-hmm. Were able to get the win, and they now lead 3-1. Not a huge shocker. Here's my thing with the Bucks.
Okay.
Giannis hurt in the playoffs last year. They lose in the first round.
Yeah.
Giannis hurt again, and they lose in the playoffs in the first round. What are you doing with this team? Like, how do you get better? You can't fire the coach again. You just fired the coach.
Well,
and then you replaced him and fired him in a minute.
But Giannis has proven you can win a title. Giannis has proven in the playoffs when healthy, he delivers. That's different than like an Embiid.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a difference. Giannis has proven he can carry a franchise. Now, this team needs some work. They're old. I think they probably should look at moving Brooke Lopez. I would keep Dame and move a bunch of other pieces. But they're in a tough spot because they don't have first round between pick swaps, Dame and Drew Holiday. They don't have any first round stuff.
I'd rather run it back with the Lakers than if I were the Bucks. I think the Bucks are trouble.
Yeah, I probably would too.
I mean, the Bucks are in the East, but yeah. Their roster's old. I mean, they were playing a guy yesterday named Green that I'd never heard of before. I had to look him up. He's from like Northern Iowa. I was like, they got no shot. So I think Pacers probably close them out in Milwaukee.
I think so.
And then Knicks Pacers. in the conference semifinals, and then Jalen Brunson's in the conference finals. I cannot wait.
Well, they were the number two seed in the East, weren't they?
They were, but nobody really had that. Final story. Oh, let's go to the Stallions in the USFL. Over the last two seasons, they've been continuing their streak into the UFL. Birmingham put together a commanding 32-9 win over the Roughnecks Saturday to remain the only undefeated team in the league. We got the standings for you. The Battlehawks 4-1, Brahmas 4-1, but the Stallions just motoring along at 5-0. Here are the updated standings.
Rolling, people.
It's dominating.
Yeah, I, for the record, the Atlanta, J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herdline News.
I am not in any way saying what Atlanta did wasn't odd. I'm not saying that. But the minute before they signed Kirk Cousins, they had the worst quarterback situation in the league in a quarterback league. Now they have the deepest. I'm going to live with Kirk Cousins' contract for 2 years, which is heavily loaded. They gave him a ton of guaranteed money up front. The bigger issue is what Miami and Dallas are going to do, which may be pay $350 million for a quarterback we view as not good enough to carry you. Kirk Cousins isn't either, but I'm paying him half that, and it's all front-loaded. So I don't love it, but I'll take being the most talented quarterback room in the league over an hour before they had Desmond Ridder. And I think Atlanta looked at it and thought, hell, the first three teams are taking quarterbacks. We know the Giants may jump, Minnesota, Raiders, all these teams, Seattle, they all made calls to jump. And so they're like, at eight, we may be getting the one. There may have been a quarterback like J.J. McCarthy Atlanta didn't like. They like Bo Nix. They like Penix. You can't think that Atlanta loved all the quarterbacks. So they knew they weren't getting Caleb and Jaden. How do you know Penix wasn't their third?
It's fair. But when they got Kirk Cousins, you and a lot of other people said they won the division, okay?
They
got
did.
The division.
They still have.
Yes.
Still won it.
So what are you doing drafting Penix 8 for 3 years from now?
He's going to play at some point this year. Cousins is off an Achilles surgery, and he wasn't athletic before it. What if you're getting about 78% of him? Aaron Rodgers, for the record.
Well, then why'd you sign him in the first place?
Because we can win the division with him.
And with 70%?
Have you watched the division?
By the way, Cousins came out after they got him and said, I want to retire a Falcon. I've jumped around teams.
Oh, great.
I'm happy in Atlanta. And then now he's looking over his shoulder knowing that in 2 years, it's over.
Kirk Cousins has made more money playing quarterback than Tom Brady. He can go sulk in his bedroom on a pile of cash. Kirk Cousins will be fine. He'll be fine.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What do you get when you combine a three-time Manager of the Year and a three-time National Sports Writer of the Year? It's the Book of Joe podcast. Hey, this is Tom Verducci from Fox Sports, MLB Network, and Sports Illustrated.
And I'm Joe Madden, and we're going to be around to talk a little bit about managerial decisions, playoff games, and what may have occurred in the dugout, maybe in the 1980s.
I can't wait for this, Joe. We're going to dive into what goes on in the dugout and behind the scenes in Major League Baseball.
Cars, wine, whatever else we want to talk about.
Listen to the Book of Joe podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
We're this close to crowning an NBA champ.
And the action's heating up on the court. It's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code HERD, code H-E-R-D, HERD, for new customers to get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500 if your first bet doesn't hit. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21-plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. One no-sweat bet per new customer issued is one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See DKNG.co/bball for eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
I love watching the NFL draft. This is one of my favorite weekends of the year. Two teams to me that always draft well. The Green Bay Packers did it again. I think they always draft well. I love their first three picks. And then I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers always draft well. A couple years ago, they had to draft a kicker in like the second round, and he was a very good college kicker, but that wasn't Jason Light, the GM. He didn't want to do that. That was the Glazer boys forcing him to sort of draft second a kicker. I got that on two very good sources. That was not his call. And sometimes, you know, the reality is in this league, about half the owners are really meddlers, are really difficult. It's very rare when you get a Steve Bisciotti with the Ravens, who is top of the class, a Stan Kroenke with the Rams, top of the class, highly funded. They let their guys run the shop. They're loyal but demanding. Baltimore and the Rams, to me, are exceedingly well run. I thought both had really good drafts, but I think the Green Bay Packers always draft well. And, you know, it's there was a book years ago, it must have been 25 years ago, called The Millionaire Next Door, and it talked about how to save money and how many school teachers were millionaires, because the average millionaire in America is not a hedge fund guy. It's somebody that paid their house off, has their cars paid off, has a 401k. And it was called The Millionaire Next Door. It's a great book, life lessons on how to invest and stay out of trouble and lower your debt and, you know, don't put stuff in a credit card. And I've always theorized that Green Bay, because it's not an attractive free agent market for athletes, has to draft well. And if you force them to draft well, if you force people in life to do something, they'll do it. If you force an NFL team, like, no free agents want to come here, why do the Packers draft so well? It's their only way to be great. In the last 20 years, I would on average take the Packers draft over the rest of the league like 90% of the time. Tampa Bay also drafts very well with Jason Light. The difference is Green Bay's hit on quarterbacks and Tampa hasn't. So it shows you Tampa and Green Bay are a great example of you can ace this draft. And I think Jason Light at Tampa is one of the smartest GMs in the league. Their first four picks are my favorite first four picks by any team along with the Rams. But they haven't hit the quarterback regularly. So you can do all this stuff right. New England said, we can hit on all these draft picks. We need Drake May. We need a quarterback. And that's why I'm going to defend Atlanta. They're like, we got two quarterbacks. Maybe it'll be a little bumpy for a year. We'd rather have two than none. Because when Desmond Ridder was quarterbacking last year, we had none. Albert Breer talked about an interesting team. Now, San Francisco, they've been okay drafting. John Lynch has missed on some running backs and wide receivers. They went and got two really good wide receivers. And we thought Brandon Ayuk was on his way out, but Albert Breer said earlier today, not so fast.
Going back to January and February, I thought that meant Ayuk was probably as good as gone. I've changed my thinking on that. I now think they're probably going to try to extend Ayuk, and I think Deebo Samuel is available. I think Ayuk is viewed more as the true number one receiver there, a guy who's a more natural receiver. And Deebo Samuel, as good as he is and unique as he is, might be seen as a little bit of a luxury item there now. So I think the plan for now is to keep all of those guys on the roster together and make one more all-in run with the entire group. But if you ask me who's going to be on the Niners roster longer, whether the change happens now or a year from now, I'd say Ayuk is probably going to be there for a longer period of time than Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, I think so too. Also, because Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey and Kittle have missed time due to injuries, they're very physical players.
that Deebo Samuel also, you don't want your four top offensive guys all having a history of getting banged up and missing time. Ayuk doesn't necessarily, so they get two more wide receivers. I think they'll move off Deebo. I just think there are certain positions in sports that you got to be careful. Like, let's be honest. If you're a star quarterback, the league only produces one a year. If you're a star left tackle, the league, the draft gives you about two a year. Wide receiver, it gives you about 12 a year. So now you carry more wide receivers than you do quarterbacks in a roster. But this position, more than any in football over the last 10 years, that's where the money is. Quarterback, edge rusher, and receiver, that's what the kids want to play. It is hard to find three good high school running backs in California high school recruiting annually. There's 45 Division I wide receivers. The kids know where the money's at. Get me on the perimeter. Let me quarterback or get on the perimeter. That's where the money is. So I think it's the old term about diva wide receiver. You just can't do it anymore. There's just a surplus. I mean, last year, Puka, fifth round, Tank Dell, third round, stars, fifth and third round.
How hard is it, though, to replace Deebo Samuel, who does so many things, versus Ayuk, who's more of your deep threat? He's obviously a burner, great hands.
Well, how many great deep threats are there in the league? I mean, to me, Ayuk's a top five receiver in the league. Deebo's the number one chess piece.
So who would you rather keep?
Well, they're two different players. I think because of the injury history of Kittle, Christian, and Trent, you'd probably keep Ayuk. I get their thinking. And the two receivers they drafted, I watched both play a lot. The Arizona kid's fourth round. He'll make them. I mean, he's a real player. But, I mean, it just shows you how good a receiver is. He was one of the Pac-12's best skill players. And he's drifting to the fourth round. There's just there's a surplus in that position in the NFL. 2 hours flew by. You better bring your A game. It's Monday.
This isn't my A game.
Hour number three coming up next.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.